Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
And this is Graham Laycock at the Walton Weybridge Regatta, held on the Thames at Walton. It's a two-day event this year. Up to now it's been a one-day on a Saturday, but now they've extended it to Sundays as well because of the demand. And I'm here on the Sunday. I'm going to be talking to those getting involved in the event. And I'm with Clive Capel from the Weybridge Rowing Club, who's one of the organisers here at the Walton Weybridge Regatta. Good to see you again, Clive.
Hello, Graham. Good afternoon.
Yeah, and this year really quite a big event, isn't it? Over 2 days.
Yes, it's unbelievable. 2 days. Yeah, it was the problem with a regatta with one day is that it's always been so terrifically oversubscribed, like sort of 50% oversubscribed. So this year, because the river became available for this event on Sunday, we decided that, well, we'd give it a go. It may or may not work, but actually I think it's worked quite well. But in terms of organising it, in terms of getting the volunteers and the umpires, because we're all volunteers, for 2 days, it's quite an ask, actually.
Yes, I should think, you know, you're normally exhausted after one day.
Oh, you're so right.
Anyway, we're here. I'm here on the Sunday afternoon, but of course, the started on the Saturday. So, how did that go?
Actually, it went really well. Although the weather yesterday was probably described as not brilliant, it could make up its mind whether it's going to rain or not. So, it did a bit of both of drizzle and rain and sun, and the wind was terrific, and it actually took out my prize giving tent, so I don't have a prize giving tent today. But because yesterday was adults and the older juniors, the quality of rowing, not so much the quality of rowing, but the experience of rowing, you could say, was slightly better. So it actually ran not only to time, but actually ahead of time, and we finished the time, and it all went extremely well.
Yes, I can remember in previous years still being here at about 7 o'clock, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it does drag on a bit. If it's mainly if something happens like a capsize, as we've just had just now.
But that's the first of the weekend, I understand.
First of the weekend, yeah, it was a single sculler capsized. There's quite a bit of wind today, more wind than, to be honest, than I'd expected today, and it was a single sculler, J13, I think, or 14. And he just went over.
Oh, what a shame! What a shame! Will he still chance to row? Or
no, that was because the race had officially started. Oh, it's recorded as it did not finish, and therefore the opposition sculler will go through to the next heat.
Right, I understand. Yes. So today, then, we've got the more junior side of things, and I understand it's a shorter course because yesterday's what, a kilometre?
Yes, it's just under a kilometre from the Blue Bridge at Walton to Miskin's Wharf, just upstream of Walton Rowing Club. Today, in order to make things a bit simpler, it was decided to run the course as a 500 metre course, so half the distance. It gives a little bit more scope for things not to go wrong, if you get my drift.
Yes, with the younger ones particularly.
For the younger ones, yeah. And because we've been able to devote the whole day to junior rowing, we've been able to involve the J12s, which is the youngest age group that we can do. So we've had some J12 boats out today, all the way up to sort of J15 sculling boats later today.
J12's quite young then, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, get them young, and and by the time they get to J15, 16, they'll be quite accomplished.
Yeah, very good indeed. Good start, isn't it, really? And, of course, here the course is pretty straight. There's a slight bend near the beginning on the metre one.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to make it too easy for them. If you want to make it easy, you go to somewhere like Dorney Lake, which is just a straight course. Yeah, yeah. But and it was quite funny, we had Eton yesterday for the first time, and they found great difficulty navigating a river with a bend in it.
Yes.
But today, yes, the course is pretty, it's not completely straight, but it's pretty straight. Yeah. And the nice thing is that from where we are at the finish, we can see where the boats are starting. A 500 metre race, you've got to get it right from the beginning. Yeah. If you make a bad start and you fall a length or two behind, you haven't got an awful lot of time left to correct it. So you've got to make a really good start. So there's a fair degree of skill needed at that stage.
Yes, or if the opposition starts failing, yes, it hasn't got much.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, these youngsters are amazingly good. I mean, some of them are, you know, the 14-year-olds might well have been rowing for a couple of years or a year and a bit. And they're remarkably good, really.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. And I guess, yes, with the older ones, you also had some masters who were quite old.
Well, you're a master if you're 28 years old.
Oh, I'm feeling old now.
So, I mean, Masters A would be the 28-year-olds. People like me, I don't know, I suppose at 68 I'd be an H or a J, something like that, maybe. I think it goes as high as I, but... I mean, anything more than that, and you'd be sort of falling off your perch, I think. So.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Anyway, weather today then is a bit gusty, but cloudy, but I don't think any rain's forecast.
It wasn't forecast. There was a bit of spitting earlier, which annoyed me because I didn't bring my waterproofs today, but I wore them all day yesterday and needed it. Yeah. But today, overcast, not actually bad, because if it's bright, sunny, hot day, you've got the rowers out on the water, they can get very dehydrated quite quickly. Today's, if it wasn't for the wind, it's actually quite a good day for rowing.
Right, yes. Yeah, I can see that, yeah. Well, thank you very much, Clive. We'll probably catch up with you a bit later on.
Indeed. Thanks, Graham. See you later.
Okay, that's Clive Capel there from the Wharton and Weybridge Regatta. And I'm now with Lily, who's from Wharton Club and a successful winner of the singles.
Hello.
Yeah. And how did you get on?
It was good. It was really windy, but it ended up well, which is good.
Yeah. And the wind's sort of helping you a bit, is it? Though until it gets gusty.
Yeah, we've got a good tailwind, which is like helping us push us down the course, which is good.
Right. Okay. So was it a clear win, or was it fairly close?
It was like a 3-stroke lead, I think. Three lengths.
Really? Right. Okay. And is it your first time at the regatta?
I did it last year, but it's my first race in a single.
Right, okay. How do you find that compared with racing, you know, rowing with somebody else?
It's good. I miss the company, but I like it.
Yeah, okay. So you've been training for quite a while for singles?
Yeah, a couple of weeks, like a month maybe.
Oh, right. Just that, really. Yeah, okay. And who were you against?
Weybridge.
Oh, right. Oh, well, a real local needle match that, wasn't it? Okay, and you're obviously going to be continuing your rowing?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
I don't know, it's just like when you put in effort, it like comes back with you, so it's like, it's good, like it pays back.
And it's good company with your mates there as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to me and congratulations.
Thank you.
Right, I'm down at the start now of the race, thought we'd come down here and see how it all begins. No stake boats today then, it's all rolling start as it were.
Restart, yes, and we're giving this side, the Surrey station, about a canvas head start as well because of the...
Oh, because of the bend?
The bend and the wind conditions.
Yes. It's mainly sort of going in their favour, but it's gusty, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
the issue. So it's just a question of lining them up and making sure they're, you know, in that position and then let them go.
And straight, yes.
And straight as well. And you've got a timetable, obviously, of how often they go.
Which is roughly every 3 minutes, although we will take the crews or the races in any order. If we have a race waiting, we will just take them over another race.
Right, OK. Obviously a bit more complex if it's a stake boat.
Yes, it takes a little bit longer to get them to back up and attach. And then usually you have a bigger gap between each race.
Right, OK. All right, well, we'll stand by to see you start the next race. They're just coming up now. The single sculls.
All stations, loading race 115. Out.
Both crews, hold it there. Sorry, tap on a bit, please.
Can't see who it is yet.
And they're just coming towards the marker boys.
Hold it there, please, Surbiton.
Yeah, well, that's 266.
266, thank you.
Okay, so it's Wimbledon.
Quarter final, race 115. Quarter final of the women's J15 single sculls. Wimbledon will start with half a length advantage. Wimbledon, tap it up, please. And hold it.
Surbiton, straight.
Surbiton, Wimbledon, attention, go!
And the red flag goes up and off they go up the course. Another start underway, a relentless process all afternoon, every 3 minutes or so. And just checking with the binoculars where the next contestants are.
Yes, because also we don't know who the winner of the previous races were. So I have to have a look and then cross out by a process of elimination so I can work out which race it is.
And you've got radio control communication down with the finish.
Yes, so as soon as I determine which race it is, then I have to announce on the radio to let all the other umpires know which race is coming down the course.
Right, yeah. Right, thank you very much. And I'm now with Clive again, and we're actually at the waterside for another race.
Yeah, this is a J13, I think it was single sculling event. The scullers have just left the start. The sculler on the right-hand side, which means nothing to you on the radio, obviously, is sculling very strongly. I can't see which one that is. I can just see somebody coming on the left-hand side, similarly sculling nicely. We're just hoping that the wind doesn't push them too far off beam. But they look as if they're both going quite well, very competently. Sculler on the Middlesex bank is quite a way out, but at the moment that looks like pretty even. So it's Burway on the left-hand side.
And it must be difficult sometimes to keep in the right position.
Yes, I mean the river is buoyed, so there are buoys there to give some guidance. But of course, when you're rowing a boat, you don't see the buoys because the buoys are behind you, as in front of you, which seems totally stupid until you realise, because you are actually rowing backwards because it's a pushing sport, not pulling. So you're pushing your legs away, and pushing your body sort of forward. But Burway and Walton are very evenly matched. My goodness, Burway's coming a bit close to the bank here, just being warned. But I don't know who's going to win this one. This could be anybody's race, actually. This is very tight. If Burway don't crack on the river, well, you heard the bell go there, and you heard the bell go only once, which means that it could potentially be a dead heat, and if it's a dead heat, both scullers will be returned to the start to do it again.
Right, we'll find out.
That was the final of the women's J14 band 3 single sculls, and I'm just waiting for the umpires to confirm what the result was.
As you say, it was very close, wasn't it?
That was the closest
one I've seen today.
We've had some pretty close ones, to be honest with you. But we just have to wait and see, because the commentator isn't authorised to give any view on it. And you've got these umpires who are very heavily, very well trained.
So was it Burway on the Surrey station, or was it Walton on the Middlesex station? And the umpires have now decided the winner was Heaton of Burway.
Yeah. Well done to both crews. One foot, that's very, very close indeed. I'm surprised it took them so long to sort that out. But yeah, I mean, 1 foot is a very, very, very close race indeed. The way it works, actually, in the finish line, there's a piece of string. It's very, very technical. Literally, there is a piece of string sitting right in front of the chief umpire. And he's looking at that as against a marker on the other side of the river. So if you can imagine, there's an imaginary line across the river, and you have to be quite switched on to know. I mean, sometimes it's very obvious, but in that case it isn't, and you have to be quite switched on to know which boat bow wall passes first. And that's it, that's how it's done.
Right.
It's very manual.
Yes, indeed, but it works. No VR.
No VR. Sometimes people have said, "Oh, you ought to have a photo finish operation," but no, we're not quite that. At the Olympics and stuff, there's all sorts of stuff. Yes, and at the big, really big events, things like the National Schools Regatta, which is coming up next weekend, there will be there will be IT, there will be technology to do that sort of stuff. But here, no, this is a local regional regatta, you know, and we don't need it, to be honest with you.
No. Anyway, as you say, very, very tight race that one. And I'm with a couple of people from St George's now, a couple of proud mums, I think, isn't it? Who are you?
We are from the J15 St George's crew. I'm Hannah.
I'm Maria.
All right, and who have you got rowing?
Theo and
Ted. And then we've got Nathan, Kit and
Ollie.
All right, okay. And how are they getting on?
It's been a successful weekend. They won two tankards yesterday and they've won the J15 quads today.
Oh, my, so marvellous.
Three cups today, yeah, so really? Very, very proud.
They'll
yeah.
be filled with something good tonight, were they?
Well, they're only little boys. They're only 15.
Cocoa, well, maybe.
Well, maybe Lucozade or Coke or something.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Sugary energy drinks.
So how long have they been rowing?
This is the second year.
Right. Second year, so have you
rowed?
I haven't.
I did row when I was younger. And
oh,
got
right, okay. You've retired early.
About 20 years ago, yes, absolutely.
Okay. Was that for St George's?
No, it wasn't, but I was waiting for my son to get old enough to row. And I was like, you will love this, you will love this. Yeah. And he used to be a rugby player. Yeah. And wasn't sure, but he, of course, fell in love with the river.
Right, and I know there's a lot of training involved, isn't there, as well?
It's four times a week. Yeah.
Early morning or?
At the moment it's after school, but next year it changes to early morning, so we'll be doing carpooling and sharing the load of that.
Right. Do it all through the winter?
Yeah, they do. Although when the river here goes on red boards and they can't run, they go on the ergs. So actually the crew didn't go on the water for about 2 months, sort of January to March.
And of course, you know, if we get heavy rain for a long period of time, the river is flowing too fast. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And with all the weirs here particularly, it's a difficult stretch.
But what do you think they get out of it, really? It's a good team sport, isn't it?
Really good team sport, strong friendship, and it's so important to synchronise. Yeah. And that's why they've got such success, because they're such a good crew. Good,
and the and cox they care is about obviously. The cox keeps them all together, but they all care about their fitness and their health and stuff, and they've had internal school exams this week and they weren't able to train and they were all like antsy. They really needed that.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, but it's a good discipline.
Very good discipline.
And good to get on with one another and work as a team and get over any problems.
Absolutely, yeah.
And help one another, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And a shout out to the coaches at St George's, because they've just been absolutely instrumental and the kids look up to them. It's just amazing to watch and see their journey. Couldn't be prouder.
Great. Well, thank you very much for talking to you today.
Thank
That's
you.
Two proud mums there from St George's.
Thanks.
Anna with Surbiton High School and eight here. And what have you just won?
Women's J15 Octo.
Great stuff. Anyway, shall we go round and say, what's your name?
Sophie. Jess.
Anna.
Amelia.
Sophia.
Aoife.
Flo.
Grace.
Lucia.
Right, was it a difficult race?
Yeah, it definitely, we learned from our mistakes in the first one to do with rate, but overall I think we really picked ourselves up in the second one.
Right, yeah, and how was it out on the water? A bit gusty?
It's quite windy, yeah.
Yeah, but I think the wind's in the right direction for you, but it's all the gusts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you all train together?
No, actually. No. She's in J14, so she stepped up to help us.
Oh, right. Okay, well done for doing that. And you enjoy rowing?
Yes.
Absolutely. Lots. And how long have you been rowing?
Since J13, so almost 3 years.
Right, okay. And you're going on for greater things, I'm sure, all of you. Well, thank you and congratulations, Surbiton High. And I'm back with Clive Capel now. We've got to the lunchtime break. Now, I was interested to see down at the rowing club in Walton there, the coxes weighing.
Yeah, coxes have to be weighed into the event. So basically, coxes cannot weigh themselves more than 50 or 55 kilograms at any one time. So a cox has to weigh at least that much. Otherwise, a boat could be said to be having an advantage if they have a particularly lightweight cox. So you can get a situation where you end up with a cox coming in with a, say, a five kilo weight or a car jack or something like that. The only thing they're not allowed is a bottle of water, because obviously they could tip out the water during the race and that would defeat the object of it. But that's the reason coxes are weighed in.
Right, I guess there's no maximum, because it's up to you them then as to how heavy they have their cocks.
Yeah, that's not a huge great advantage to lug an 80-kilo lump of meat around like me in a junior boat. In fact, adults aren't allowed to cox junior boats, so there are rules and regulations. But yes, I mean, in theory, you could get a very heavy, small child, yeah, you know, 70, 80 kilos, which has happened, and that obviously does create a bit of drag in the boat.
And I guess all the rules are under the British Rowing.
Yeah, it's all very prescriptive. It's all laid down in the rules of racing. Yeah.
And one thing today I noticed is you're not using stake boats. We were yesterday.
Yeah, the stake boats. I like using stake boats, but it does mean that crews have to know how to latch onto the stake boat. That means they come past the stake boat and then engage reverse gear, and have to very accurately. Position the stern of the boat within the reach of normally a small child that's hanging over the front of the dinghy that's anchored to the riverbed. So if said small child misses the end of the boat, it can take a bit of fiddling around to get the boat in the right position. And it's fine, of course, as long as said small child does remember to let go when the boat the umpire says go and the boat pulls away. So today we're doing what's called a free start, which means that it's down to the bank umpire to align the boats, and then in windy weather like this, as soon as they're aligned, they pretty much say, okay, you ready, go, and that's it.
Right, and that's how it works. Yeah. Really. Yeah. Okay, Clive, well, thank you very much, and we'll be back with you later on.
Yeah, see you later.
That's Clive Capel there at the Walton Wage Regatta. And I'm now with Michaela, the vital part of the whole regatta. Regatta marches on its stomach, doesn't it?
It does indeed. We're busy at the catering tent for 2 days and you've had a wonderful time. Good
Great.
Turnout too.
Yeah, and you're volunteers, obviously.
We are all volunteers, mostly parents of children or rowers ourselves.
Right, okay. And a lot of homemade stuff?
We've had so many people bring us cakes and biscuits. It's been an incredible turnout. People have been very, very generous. We're very grateful. And especially the homemade cakes have been really a knockout.
Yeah, you can't beat those, can you? I've been enjoying those this afternoon. You've got a barbecue here as well?
We've got a barbecue as well. We're about to sell out, actually. It is 3:30 and we're nearly done for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it's over 2 days this year, so that's extra strain, I would imagine.
Well, I think extra challenge. We didn't really know how much to cater. We didn't know. Yeah. And obviously we then also rely on twice the amount of bakers and twice the amount of volunteers to man the tent. So that was a challenge, but we've risen to the occasion. We've had loads of people come up and say, you know, we normally volunteer. Can we pop in and just help for a little bit? So that's been wonderful.
Great stuff. Yeah. Had a lovely tuna baguette as well for lunch.
Oh, fabulous. I'm glad you've had that. Yes. Hopefully some cake as well.
Well, I must have another piece of cake in a minute.
I think you must. It is time. Yeah. Tea and cake time, of course.
How long do you take to prepare all this? Is it the week before or...?
Well, to be honest, this year I think we had 2 weeks' notice to get it all together. Nobody had stepped up to volunteer to coordinate, so we'd managed to do that in 2 weeks. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work the Thursday, Friday beforehand. Jilly did a lot of work in getting, stuff... supplies bought and prepared, and then it's pretty much on the day. It's probably a 7 to 6 job both days, but we've got a lot of teams helping out as well. We've got a hardware team, I think you could setting up team for the tents and for the chairs, etc. So there's a lot of people who pull together to bring it together, which is needed, very much needed.
Well done, Michaela, and your team.
Thank you very much, and thank you to everybody who volunteered and who bought and who was just, fabulous on the day. We're really grateful for everyone's support.
Yeah, great community event.
Absolutely, I agree. Lovely community event. Thank you so much.
Yes, Michaela there with all the food. Right, I'm with a couple of gentlemen now from Guildford Rowing Club, and you're?
Tristan. Ivan.
And what have you just won?
So we've just won the J15 Division 1 doubles.
Right, okay, congratulations. And how is it out on the water?
Quite windy, but not as windy as I thought it'd be.
No, it's a bit gusty as well, isn't it? That's the trouble.
Yeah, it's a bit gusty, but it was good. I mean, we won, so.
Yeah, indeed. It's against St George's, wasn't it?
I think so, and then the first race was against Henley.
Right, oh, right, okay. And was it a close race, or were you well ahead?
We did get quite far ahead, I believe.
Right, Okay, and you enjoyed the race?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I mean, just stayed in front the whole way.
Yeah. Have you raced here before, previous years?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Right, okay, good. And you won before?
Yeah.
Good. And what do you like about rowing?
It's just really fun. It's just really, it's really fun with all the people. It's a lot better people than some other sports like football.
Yeah, and learning to work together, I guess, as a team.
Yeah, that's a really good part of it, teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about you?
I think it's just quite calming, you know, just talk with friends in the boat and have fun, I guess.
Yeah, well done today for having fun.
Thanks.
And you got a couple of pots. Thank you very much.
On the Surrey station and Walton Dibden on Middlesex station, and this is the women's J14 band 2 singles. We just saw the band 3 singles earlier. The two scullers are in no danger of colliding with each other. They're well apart, but in terms of who's winning, it's all pretty close.
Right, this one's underway then.
Indeed, yes, you may have heard the reference there to band 2 and band 3. So the way that works is that every individual member of British Rowing has a point system attached to them. So the more you win, the more points you get. So band 3 is the newest, the least experienced, the least successful scholars, and the band 2 would be the next one, band 1 would be the best ones. So if we're trying to match the two scullers closely together, or crews. So at the moment we've got a Walton sculler here, sculling quite strongly, just about to come across the line. The St George's sculler is a few boat lengths behind her. She's got to be careful not to hit that buoy. Oh, she hit the buoy, but that's fine. So Walton have won that race against St George's.
Yeah, it's a clear win there, isn't there?
That was a clear win, unlike the previous race where it was a ding-ding race.
And we just got a bit of a gust of wind blowing up.
Indeed, yeah, it's just unfortunate. However, the wind is blowing more or less down the course, so it's actually pushing the scullers on, which is, if you've got to have wind, it's the best way to be. What you don't want is a headwind or across the wind.
For race 128, that final of the women's J14 band 2 single sculls, and it was a win for Dibden of Walton over Buchanan and St George's College by 4 lengths.
So, of course, St George's College and Walton, both in the same location here at Walton on Thames, adjacent boathouses, they share the landing stage. And obviously one's a school, one's a club, as Weybridge is a club. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. I mean, the good thing about schools rowing is that they are there for games periods, and then if they're doing rowing as an extra, they're there for rowing as well. So they get an awful lot of rowing. Whereas with clubs, you don't have the same sort of control over them. So if somebody decides that they can't turn up on a Saturday morning because it's Auntie Enid's 95th birthday, well, there's not actually an awful lot you can do. Whereas with the school would say, well, no, it's Saturday morning, you're at school, Auntie Enid will have to wait. Yeah. So we come up against schools quite a lot. And when we're looking at results, we do tend to say to ourselves, well, we came fourth, but actually, of all the clubs rowing, we were first. Right. So we were fourth overall, but the previous three winners were schools.
Right.
So there is a little bit of sort of self praise there, if you like,
yes.
You know, it does make a difference. But St George's College, Walton, Weybridge, we all, you know, we do stuff together. We had a fun event about 4 weeks ago where the clubs all just got together on a Saturday afternoon and just swapped people and boats around, and it was just a fun event, and we did it for the three clubs together.
Well, that's very nice. A sort of friendly rivalry, really, locally, then.
Well, not even a rivalry. I've always said they're only your rivals when you're on the start and the umpire says go. To me, it's very important to understand that rowing is a very... is a sport that's very social and collaborative sport. It's not It's not a sport where you have people wanting to tear each other's hair out. You have to be able to get along with people. And it's good that the youngsters, right from the very beginning, understand that.
George's College, Robbins and Gerber on the Surrey station, and Walbrook Rowing Club, Fallon and Nyman on the Middlesex station. And the crews have now started.
So as you can hear, you know, the races are coming thick and fast now. This is a doubles race, I think.
But I think the Georgies have got a small lead.
There's an interesting thing here with a big river cruiser coming down just opposite the finish line, but he's sticking very nicely to the correct line on the navigation channel, whilst the St George's quads that are waiting to go up are sensibly waiting for him to pass them. So the two boats coming down now, the doubles, well steered. They're in their lines, keeping themselves well apart, concentrating on what they're doing and not what other people are doing. I just hope the big boat is out of the way before they get to the same piece of water. It looks like Walbrook are going to win this. They're well ahead of St George's College. Walbrook are down at Teddington, so they're not too far away. But these Walbrook girls look really nice. Perfectly in time, perfectly in alignment. And yes, they won that quite comprehensively.
Right, well, thank you, Clive. A real taste of the rowing here this afternoon on the Thames.
Thanks, Graham.
Right, I'm now with the winner of the J14 Junior Sculls, and you're?
Perry Jane Dibden.
Oh, right, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
A great race we were watching, and you won handsomely.
Yeah, I was a bit unsure at the start, to be fair, because it's quite level, but I managed to take a lead.
Good. How did you find the water there?
It was quite choppy, to be fair, and it was hard to like put my blades in right to get a good start.
A bit tricky, and gust of wind as well.
Definitely, yeah. So I think the opponent got a canvas start because of the winds and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long have you been rowing?
Just over a year now. I started my beginner course here at Waterton last year in Easter.
And you're enjoying it?
Definitely. It's my favourite sport.
Do you always do single sculls?
Well, usually I race in doubles, and I've done a couple of quads, so this is actually my first singles race.
Oh, really? Yeah. Right, well, keep at it, won't you?
Yeah, thank you.
Right, well, thank you for talking to me, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And I'm now with the Mayor of Elmbridge, Judy Sarnsbury. Hello, Judy.
Hello, how are you?
All right, thank you very much. Should we keep on bumping into each other, don't we, Ms. Rodeo?
We do. I'm becoming a permanent resident in your building, and now here we are again.
Yeah, right, by the Thames. And I know you're a rower, aren't you, Weybridge Rowing Club?
Yes, I have been for many years. I started with Tideway Scullers and then moved to Weybridge. Actually, it was the river that was the reason for moving.
Really? Right. And the rowing?
Yeah, but basically I wanted to be able to row, somewhere on the Thames, so I moved to Weybridge.
Yeah. Why not, indeed. So how young were you when you started rowing?
Not that young. I was 41.
Oh, 41. Yes. Oh, right. Well, what made you do that?
My now husband was rowing at that time at Tideway Scullers in Chiswick, and someone saw me running the towpath, which I used to do. I was then a runner, and said, "You're obviously very fit. Would you like to learn to row?" So I said, "Well, yeah, why not?"
Yeah, right. Were you running along on a bicycle along the towpath?
No, just running it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And you still row?
The days when I could run, I can't now, but I can still row. You know, my knees won't allow me to do much running, but I can still row.
Well, that's great stuff, isn't it? Yeah. So you go out regularly, or?
Not as regularly as I'd like to. Since I became a counsellor, I was racing before COVID, and then COVID struck. Obviously, we all, none of us could go out. And then I became a counsellor, and it was just too complicated. I had raced and won in a single, but I really generally raced in crews, and I didn't want to be letting people down because I was attending council meetings or whatever. Yeah. So I just decided to row socially, which I'm still doing, but now
You're so, even more busy.
So busy as mayor, yes. Yeah. I mean, I had 5 appointments yesterday. One of them was with Brooklands on the High Street. But, you know, when you've got that much going on, it's just really difficult to try and squeeze it in. So if I do once a week now, I feel good.
Yeah. And you've got till next March, haven't you, anyway, in the mayoral role?
Yes, until 1st of April. I stand down then. So after that, I can go back to it, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. It's a year out, isn't it? Or you were deputy last year.
Yes, I was deputy last year. It's only actually 10.5 months because, obviously, the new authority, when we start East Surrey, will take a month of my term away.
I just wonder what's going to happen to this sort of ceremonial role, because everybody loves the mayor coming along. It's the chain as well, isn't it? You
know. Well, they say that I'm going to be the last mayor, and there may be a mayor of Surrey, but that'll be more of an Andy Burnham I think... I think it'd be a mistake to lose it because it's such a, you know, you're so well received and it helps so many different charities if you turn up. People are very excited about it.
Yeah, and also you learn a lot about these organisations, don't you, during your years?
Gosh, yes, a huge amount, yes. It's been an education for me, really has, even just being deputy mayor so far.
Anyway, another great event, the Walton Waves Regatta, and this year over 2 days because the demand's so great.
Yeah, absolutely, but it's great to see that my granddaughter was actually racing yesterday, didn't win, and I think she's coxing today. But it is such a great event that, I understand they had to spread it over 2 days. But it is lovely, except for when it's raining.
I know. Yesterday wasn't too good, was it?
It wasn't great. No. It wasn't great. I mean, we had a gazebo originally for all the cups, and it sort of blew over and broke. So, yes, not great weather.
So the Brooklands Radio banner's come down today, and I've kept it down now.
Oh, dear. Very wise.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for talking to me, and we wish you a success for the year as mayor.
Thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Thank you. That's bye Judy bye. Salisbury, Mayor of Elmbridge. And I'm pleased to say I've just run into an old friend of Brooklands Radio, Douglas Dick. Hello, Doug.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm very well indeed. I'm here to see my granddaughter. Rowing for Walbrook Rowing Club.
Right, okay. How's she doing?
Well, I don't know. She seems to be thoroughly enjoying it. She's only just started rowing, so she's pretty junior at it. But she's getting on and she's certainly loving it, and that's what really matters.
Right. Have you been involved in rowing yourself?
Oh, yes. I was captain of Walbrook Rowing Club many, many moons ago. More moons than I care to remember.
Right, okay. So, and it's, I suppose it's still flourishing, obviously.
Yeah, it was flourishing even more than it was in my day. Although I did row for Walbrook for 2 years in the Coxless Fours at Henley.
Really? Yeah. All right, well, Henley.
Not with any very great distinction. I think we won one race out of the 2 years, but never mind.
There you are. You did try anyway.
Yeah, and it was all good fun, and that's what it's all about.
That's right, and it's amazing just how many entries there are. Now they've got it over 2 days here rather than one.
Yes, it's true. It used to be called Walton Amateur Regatta, I seem to remember, and I'm sure I've rowed in it more than once.
It started in 1862, though I expect you missed that one.
Oh, a little bit before my time. Not as far before my time as I'd like to think, but there we are.
I'm told in those days, you know, because it was a really big event locally, all the finery ladies and gentlemen came out to watch the rowing.
Yes, they did indeed. In fact, it was Friday, Saturday, so we used to have pre-heats, sort of elimination heats on the Friday evening, and then if you made it to the final day Sunday, Saturday, rowing on a Sunday was not looked on with very great grace in those days.
No, indeed. It wouldn't have happened then, would it? No. And I believe in those days, well, of course, people didn't travel really, did they? There was no real transport in the 1860s onwards.
No, sort of middle of this... The last century, in the sort of 40s, well, no, no, late 40s, 50s, we did start to get boats which could be taken apart and transported on big lorries, and then even some which would now take into several pieces and go on trailers. So people are much more inclined to go in, regattas, in far-flung places.
Indeed. I think in the 19th century, I was told that there were regattas all along the Thames, and people would take part in one and then row to the next one.
Yeah, that happened a bit, yes. It's quite exhausting when you do that, going through all the locks and things. But they used to start more or less at Thames Ditton Regatta, I think, and then move gently up the river until they got to Marlow and then Henley.
Yeah, the pinnacle of it all. Well, we wish you best luck with your granddaughter.
Thank you very much indeed, and give Walbrook a cheer.
And we'll try. Thank you very much, Douglas Dick.
Bye-bye.
And I'm now with...
Oliver Costa.
And I believe you just got a pop for winning today?
Yeah.
And what was that for?
J14 single sculls.
Right, how did you find the race?
Hard.
It's hard, was it?
Yeah.
Was it quite close?
It was a bit close until the end, and then I kind of went further.
You got some burst of energy, was it? Or the other guy flagged a bit?
Yeah.
You race for Weybridge?
Yeah, Weybridge Rowing Club.
Oh, right, okay. How long have you been rowing?
Almost 2 years.
Oh, right. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good, okay. And also, you're connected with Addlestone, I think, some way, is it?
I go to Jubilee High School in Addlestone.
Oh, yes, Jubilee High. All right, okay. So they're supporting you on this, are they?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good indeed. And how did you find the water today? It was a bit choppy and a bit windy.
Yeah, a little bit choppy, but not as bad as yesterday.
No, it was a bit wet as well. Were you racing yesterday?
No, but I was doing estate boats. And it
was were you?
Yeah.
Good for you, so volunteering on that. Yeah, no state boat today, though?
No, there wasn't state boats today, I don't know why.
No, I think they're trying to make it a bit easier. Yeah. But anyway, well done and congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm now back with Clive after a successful 2 days.
Oh, tiring 2 days, I'll tell you.
And an exhausting 2 days.
Yeah, I mean, as I think I said when we talked on Friday, the organisation of an event like this is huge. It takes sort of 60, 70 people to run it. It starts back in November with initial planning, all the way through committee meetings in February and March and April, and you know, and then the final decisions have to be made, final orders placed for things like toilets and tables and chairs and the gazebos and all that sort of stuff. There's just a huge, huge amount of work. And when you come down and look at it, you don't even see it. But something that you take for granted, like having a PA system, for example, that has to be thought about. We bought all the gear last year, so Ashley Tilling has done a great job setting all that up, even things like setting up the mast there. You know, that doesn't happen by magic. Everything that happens because somebody has done it. And it's only when you get involved in these things you realise just what a lot of work there is.
Now, I understand this is your last year in the current role.
Yes, I'm sort of handing over after nearly 20 years of doing it, and I've loved doing it, and I suspect probably if I'm around at this time next year, I'll be around to help out, because that's sort of what I quite like to do. But it's time for somebody else to do it, because if anything, you know, was to happen to me or anything, suddenly they've got nobody that knows how to do the programme. So at least now somebody else is au fait with what needs to be done. And it can carry on.
Yes, well, I'm sure we'll see you around still, Clive, and thank you for making us so welcome over the years as well. We've been here many years now.
You're most welcome, and we celebrated it. It looks like we got a win with the Weybridge Octo, which I'm very pleased about. It's just gone past as we were talking.
That's excellent for your club, yes.
But it's been great, and I'm sure we'll meet up again. You know, I'm around and about, I'm local, and I've no intention of going anywhere particularly interesting or permanent.
Well, I think everybody has to thank you for all your hard work and dedication over the years.
Well, thank you. It's been really enjoyable, you know, working with you guys as well. You've been around since I started getting involved in about 09, 08, 09, yes. Something like that. So.
Yes, indeed. And I guess you're going to be reviewing now the impact on doing 2 days and whether it goes forward that way or not.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that needs doing. That'll be, we have a wash-up meeting after each regatta, and that will definitely be a major point to consider. It depends. I mean, I think it's worked out really well. There's a different buzz today and Sunday with the juniors over the adults regatta. But it does just take an awful lot of work, and it depends on getting the volunteers.
Yes, it's 2 days of commitment as well, rather than one. Obviously, all the planning in advance still has to happen as well.
Absolutely. You know, we can't leave anything to chance. And, you know, if the weather's bad and grotty as it was yesterday, it, it, you know, that can change things. Like, for example, we were planning to use a gazebo that I used to have for my prize giving for something else, and that got damaged yesterday. So other arrangements had to be made fairly quickly, as in me being in the open air instead of under the cover of a gazebo. But thankfully, it wasn't raining. Had it been raining today,
yes,
I don't know quite what I'd have been doing.
No. Oh, well, anyway, Clive, thank you so much again, and we wish you every success for the future.
Thank you, Graham. That's really kind of you.
That's Clive Capel there at the Walton and Weybridge Regatta 2026. And that completes our coverage of the regatta.
Brooklands Radio. Loving events in Surrey.